Is SEO dead? It feels like we ask that every time Google like changes anything.
Right.
But seriously, AI is getting so much better. People are using the internet in new ways. So like, is SEO actually dying this time?
Yeah, it does kind of feel different this time, doesn't it?
For everyone listening, whether you're prepping for a meeting or you just like to geek out about digital marketing like we do, buckle up because we're diving deep into what SEO looks like in 2025.
This will be good.
And we always like to go straight to the source. So to guide us today, we've got a podcast episode from these folks at DigiVaruna.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
They're an SEO agency based in New Jersey.
Okay, yeah.
So they're like right there in the trenches. Yeah, they were dealing with this every day.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like we hear all this stuff about AI and SEO is dead,
Right.
but what's actually happening? You know, what are people actually doing?
Exactly. And that's what we're here to figure out. You know, we're not going to like declare a winner in this whole SEO dead or alive
Yeah.
debate.
Right.
We just want to arm you, the listener, with the knowledge you need
Oh, okay. Yeah.
to know what works, what doesn't work, and like what SEO even means today, not like 5 years ago.
Right. Because 5 years ago, it was all about like, remember keyword stuffing?
Oh, yeah.
You just put keywords everywhere, no matter what.
Oh, and the spammy backlinks.
Oh, yes. Backlinks from like who even knows where?
Right.
But it doesn't work anymore.
No.
Search engines have gotten smarter than that. It's not about tricking the system anymore.
Yeah, it's like those websites where you can't even find what you're looking for.
Right.
It's just like a wall of random words. I'm hitting the back button so fast.
Totally. And search engines are trying to prevent that. You
Yeah.
know, they want to reward sites that are actually good for people,
Okay.
sites that offer a good user experience.
So, like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Good user experience.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other big thing here is like AI, right? Is AI going to replace all of us?
Right. Like, will human SEO experts just become extinct?
Yeah, extinct.
I don't think so, though. I really don't.
Yeah.
AI is more like a tool. It's really powerful, but it's still just a tool. You know what I mean?
I think so.
It's like saying a chef is going to be replaced by a food
Yeah,
processor.
yeah.
I mean, yeah, the food processor can chop veggies faster, but it's the chef who, like, you know, brings the creativity,
Right.
the experience, the special, you know, something, something.
So it's more like AI is our sous chef,
Yeah, exactly.
helping us work smarter, not taking over the whole kitchen.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the biggest ways AI is changing SEO is by making us focus on user experience.
Okay.
Because that's what AI is helping search engines do better than ever,
Yeah.
understand what users actually want.
All right, I'm all ears. So the article mentioned a few key things: mobile friendliness, loading speed, and easy navigation,
Okay, yeah.
which all sound kind of basic, but I bet it's like more complicated than it sounds.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I mean, let's start with mobile friendliness. I feel like that's the most obvious.
Okay.
We're living in a mobile-first world. So if your website isn't built for phones, you've already lost.
Yeah.
Think about it. You're on your phone, the text is tiny, you can't even tap the buttons, images take forever to load.
Ugh, I've been there. It makes me want to like throw my phone across the room.
Right. It's so frustrating. And search engines know that.
Yeah.
So they're gonna prioritize websites that just work well on mobile. They
Yeah.
want people to be happy, whether they're on their desktop, laptop, tablet, phone, whatever.
All right, I'm convinced. Mobile first is essential. What about loading speed?
Oh, that's another big one. You know I have the shortest attention span ever. If a page doesn't load in like 2 seconds,
My gosh, me too.
I'm gone.
I'm out of there.
And you're not alone. Like, there are studies that show that even a delay of a few seconds, it can like totally tank your bounce rate. People are busy, they're impatient, they want information now. So a fast loading website is really, it's essential.
Yeah, I guess that's true for everything online these days.
Pretty much,
And
yeah.
then there's easy navigation,
Right.
which, again, seems obvious.
Yeah.
But I feel like so many websites get it wrong.
Oh, they do.
Like, what does
Man.
easy navigation even look like?
Okay, well, you need a clear structure,
Right.
menus that make sense, a logical flow, you know, so that people can actually find what they're looking for.
It's like those breadcrumbs in Hansel and Gretel,
Oh, yeah.
except instead of leading to a gingerbread house, they're leading us to like the perfect
Although,
product or
yeah.
the answer we're desperately searching for.
And it's all about user experience, really. Like, it's understanding how people use the internet and building your website to match that.
Okay, but the real game changer here is AI.
Right.
Like AI is changing how we even use search engines. That's kind of mind-blowing and maybe a little scary. I don't know.
It is a little scary. I mean, AI is changing the way we interact with search engines in some pretty big
Wow.
ways, and that's what we really need to pay attention to.
All right, so break it down for me. What's the AI revolution in search? Like, what does it actually mean?
Well, one of the biggest things is like the shift towards conversational search. Think about how you talk to like Siri or Alexa.
Okay.
It's a net right. You don't have to overthink it. Like, I'm way more likely to say, "Find me a good sushi place nearby,"
Right.
than to like type in best sushi restaurants, city name.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So SEO has to evolve to keep up with that. It's not just about keywords anymore.
No.
It's about the intent behind what people are saying.
So we have to think like our audience, talk like our audience, practically read their minds.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's where semantic search comes in. Search engines are getting so much better at understanding the meaning
Yeah.
behind our searches.
So not just the words themselves.
Exactly.
So if I search for like best hiking boots for beginners, Google wouldn't just look for pages with those exact words.
Right.
It would also consider like what kind of terrain I'm probably going to be hiking on, what kind of support I need,
Right.
maybe even my budget.
Exactly. It's about understanding the bigger picture, you
Yeah.
know, connecting the dots between those search terms and what the user actually wants.
Wow. Semantic search. Yeah.
That's really interesting, but it also sounds insanely complicated. Like,
Yeah.
how do we optimize for something like that?
Well, it starts with thinking beyond those basic keywords. You know, thinking about the topics, the themes, the questions your audience has.
So instead of just hiking boots,
Right.
maybe we think about choosing the right hiking boots or beginner hiking tips or even like best hiking trails near me.
Exactly. It's about building a whole content ecosystem
Okay.
that covers all those different angles.
I'm starting to see the light here. But I can't help but think, like, AI is getting so smart.
Yeah.
Does it even matter what we do anymore? Can't AI just write all the content for us? Yeah, I get that. A lot of people are asking that. And yeah, there is some potential for AI content creation. I'll give you that. It can help generate ideas, create rough drafts, even help with things like
I
readability.
mean, I've played around with some of those AI writing tools,
Yeah.
and the results are like kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's decent, and sometimes it's just weird.
It's true. It's not a magic bullet.
No.
It can help us work smarter, not harder, but it can't replace the human element,
Yeah.
you know, the creativity, the nuance, the ability to really connect with people on an emotional level.
Okay. So it's more like a collaborator,
Yeah.
not a replacement.
Exactly.
With all this talk about AI and algorithms, I feel like it's easy to forget that SEO is still about like humans connecting with other
It
humans.
is. You're totally
Yeah.
right. And that brings us back to the two things we talked about at the beginning: data-driven decisions and understanding user intent.
Okay, remind me.
Yeah.
Like, why are those so important? I'm already forgetting.
Okay, so data helps us understand what's working and what's not working. It shows us how people are finding our website,
Yeah.
what they're engaging with, what's making them leave.
So data is like our compass
Yeah.
guiding us in the right direction.
Exactly. And understanding user intent. It's like reading the map. It's not just about knowing what people are searching for.
Right.
It's about knowing why. What are their motivations? What are their problems, their hopes and dreams?
Okay, this is getting deep, but I see what you mean.
Yeah. The data tells us the what. And understanding user intent helps us understand the why. And when we combine those two things, that's how we create a powerful strategy that actually works.
Okay, so data and user intent are our guiding stars. But how do we actually put this into practice? Like, give me some real-world strategies.
All right, so let's start with content creation. Content is king, right? We all know that. But it needs to be focused on what your audience is actually searching for and why they're searching for it.
So it's not just writing about running shoes.
Right.
It's about understanding the different types of runners
Yeah.
and what they need. So someone training for a marathon is going to need different shoes than someone who just wants something comfortable for walking around.
Exactly. It's about going deeper.
Yeah.
Understanding those questions, problems, and desires that are driving those searches.
So where do we even start with that? How do we figure out what our audience actually wants?
Well, luckily, we have a lot of resources. We can look at website analytics. What are the popular pages? What keywords are bringing people to the site?
So our website data can tell us a lot if we know what to look for.
Exactly. We can also use tools like keyword research tools, social listening tools to see what people are searching for and talking about.
So we're looking at website data, keyword research, eavesdropping on social media. What else?
Don't underestimate good old-fashioned customer feedback. Talk to your customers, send out surveys, pay attention to the comments and questions they leave.
So go straight to the source.
Exactly.
I like that. All right, so once we have all this information, how do we use it to actually create better content and a better SEO strategy?
Think of it like a cycle, you know? You gather information about your audience, create content that meets their needs, you track the results, and then you use that to refine your strategy. It's ongoing.
It's like a dance, this constant back and forth.
That's a great way to put it. And that's what makes SEO dynamic, challenging. You're never really done.
Yeah, I see why some people might think SEO is dead. It feels like the rules are always changing.
They are always changing, but that's also what makes it exciting. It
Yeah.
means SEO is staying relevant, adapting.
So we need to embrace the changes,
Yeah.
not fear them.
And see them as opportunities to improve.
All right, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
But SEO isn't just about content and strategy. It's also about the technical stuff.
Right, all the behind-the-scenes magic
Yeah.
that makes everything work.
Okay. So what do we need to know about technical SEO?
Well, we already talked about a few things. Crawlability, indexability, site structure, page speed. Those are all part of technical SEO.
All right, let's break those down one by one.
Okay.
Let's start with crawlability. What does that even mean?
Think of Google like a spider crawling around the web, following links, trying to figure out what's out there. Crawlability is how easily that spider can access your website and move around. If your site is well structured, links work, the spider can crawl through it, understand it, and add it to its index.
But if it's a tangled mess
Yeah.
with broken links and dead ends,
Yeah.
the spider's going to get lost.
Exactly. And if Google can't crawl it, it can't index it,
Right.
which means your pages won't show up in search.
Okay, so crawlability is about making our website spider-friendly.
Yeah.
Got it. What about indexability?
Okay, so once that spider has crawled your site and understood it, it adds those pages to its index, which is like Google's giant library catalog.
Okay, so crawlability is getting the spider to visit. Indexability is making sure it adds our pages to its little library card catalog.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And are there things that like prevent pages from being indexed?
Yeah, like duplicate content, thin content, or technical issues, anything that blocks Google from accessing pages.
Okay, so unique content,
Yeah.
valuable content, easily accessible to the Google spiders.
Exactly.
All right, now what about site structure?
Okay, so site structure is about how your website is organized,
Yeah.
how the pages are linked together. A well-structured website is easier for people and search engines to understand.
So not just a random collection of pages.
Right.
We need to think about how they all connect. Create a clear path for visitors to follow.
Exactly. It helps Google understand what your pages are about and helps users find what they need, like a roadmap for your website.
I like that. Okay, and speaking of getting places, page speed.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. We talked about it earlier from the user experience side. But it's important for technical SEO, too.
Oh, yeah.
Google wants to rank websites that load quickly.
Right. I'm way more likely to stick around if a page loads instantly.
Exactly. And if it takes too long, it can hurt your rankings. It's like showing up late for a meeting. You've already lost points before you even start.
Yikes. Don't want to be late to the SEO party.
Yeah.
So, how do we make sure our website is loading fast?
There are a few things. Image optimization, minifying code, browser caching.
It sounds kind of technical.
Yeah, it can be. There are tools and resources that can help. Or you can talk to a web developer or an SEO expert.
Okay, good to know. It seems like technical SEO is a whole world in itself.
It is. It's like the foundation for everything else.
But it's not just about what happens on our website.
Right.
There's off-page optimization too.
You got it. That's next.
All right, so let's talk about that. What is off-page SEO? What does that even mean?
Off-page SEO is everything you do outside of your website
Okay.
to improve your rankings, building authority, reputation.
So building our street cred.
Yeah, basically. And
Yeah.
one of the most important parts of that is building backlinks.
Right. We talked about backlinks being like votes of confidence
Yeah.
from other websites.
Yeah.
But how do we get them? Do we have to like campaign for them?
It's not quite a political campaign, but there are definitely strategies. One is to create amazing content that other websites will naturally want to link to.
So if our content is valuable, other websites will want to share it with their audience.
Exactly. Make it so good, people can't help but share it.
I like that. But sometimes even great content needs a little push, right?
You're right. You can also reach out to other websites, bloggers,
okay,
in your industry and ask them to link to your content.
So it's like networking,
mm-hmm,
building relationships,
mm-hmm,
and then promoting our content to them.
Yeah, exactly. You can also participate in industry forums, online communities, share your content there.
Okay, so we're being active, engaging, showing off our expertise.
Yes, and remember, quality over quantity, always.
Right. A few good backlinks are worth more than a ton of bad ones.
Way more.
So it's about getting endorsements from the websites that really matter.
Yeah. And that takes time and effort. It's not a one-time thing.
So building backlinks is an ongoing process, not a one-and-done.
It is. And it's not just about backlinks either. Off-page SEO includes social media marketing, online reputation management, even getting involved in your local community.
So it's about building a presence,
hmm,
a reputation online across different platforms.
Exactly.
Okay, so off-page SEO is about going beyond our website and building a presence online that, like, signals authority and trust to Google.
You got it. And remember, it's all connected.
Right.
On-page SEO, technical SEO, off-page SEO, they all work together to create,
yeah,
you know, a strategy that actually gets results.
It's like a symphony. All these different instruments playing together.
Oh, I like that.
To create something beautiful.
And just like a symphony, it takes time, effort, and a little bit of artistry.
Speaking of special, the article also mentioned local SEO. Is that only for businesses with physical stores?
It is, especially important for them, yeah. But online businesses can benefit from it too. It's about being visible to people searching for businesses in their area.
So even if we don't have a physical address, we can still optimize for local searches.
Totally. Like, let's say you're a freelance graphic designer. You work remotely, but you want clients in a specific city.
Okay, yeah.
You can optimize for that.
So it's not just about location. It's about anyone who wants to reach customers in a certain area.
Exactly. And there are a few key things you can do for local SEO. One is claiming and optimizing your Google My Business profile.
Google My Business? Okay, what is that? I've heard of it, but I'm not really sure.
Think of it like a free business listing on Google. It's like a mini website for your business.
Okay.
That helps you manage your online presence, appear in local search, maps, even voice search.
So it's like a digital storefront.
Yeah.
Even if we don't have a physical one.
Exactly. And it's important for local SEO because when people search for businesses like yours in their area, that's often one of the first things they see.
All right. I'm starting to see why it's important.
Yeah.
What else can we do for local SEO?
Well, you want to make sure you have consistent, accurate local citations across the web.
Okay. And remind me, what's a local citation?
It's any online mention of your business name, address, and phone number.
Oh, okay.
On other websites, directories, social media.
So it's like building credibility by making sure all that information's the same everywhere.
Exactly. And the more consistent and accurate it is, the more Google trusts you.
Yeah.
Which can boost your rankings.
So it's like a chorus of voices, mm-hmm, all vouching for our business, saying, yes, this business is legit and it's located here.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, you want to build relationships with other local businesses.
Okay, so getting involved in our community,
mm-hmm,
both online and offline.
Networking can lead to opportunities for cross-promotion, partnerships, even local backlinks.
Right, so it's like creating a little network,
yeah,
of businesses all helping each other.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, local SEO is ongoing. You know, just like everything else in SEO, you have to constantly update things, monitor your citations, and stay active.
So local SEO, it's a valuable strategy for any business trying to reach local customers.
Yeah.
But let's bring it back to those two core principles.
Yeah.
Data-driven decisions,
mm-hmm,
and understanding user intent. How do those apply to everything we've been talking about?
Well, they're the foundation of any good SEO strategy.
Yeah.
Data tells us what's working, user intent guides, our content creation, our optimization, everything, really.
So we have to constantly analyze our data.
Right.
And use it to make decisions.
Right.
About our website, content, our approach.
Exactly. And we have to think about our audience, their needs, how we can best serve them.
So it's about putting the audience first, always.
It is.
Yeah.
And if we do that and we focus on those two core principles,
yeah,
we'll be in good shape.
Okay, that's good advice. So we've covered a lot.
We have.
From the technical side of SEO to off-page optimization to local SEO.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have to ask, like, what's next? What's the future of SEO?
Oh, that's a great question. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about next time. Get ready to dive into the world of AI, voice search, visual search, all the stuff that's changing the future of search.
Okay, I'm intrigued and maybe a little terrified, but that's what the deep dive is all about, right?
Exactly.
Exploring the unknown. So, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back to unravel the mysteries of the future of SEO.
I can't wait. Okay, so we were talking about the AI revolution in search.
Right. Like, how is AI actually changing things?
Well, we touched on conversational search, you know, how
Yeah.
people talk to their devices, but there's also semantic search.
Okay, yeah. Remind me what that is again.
So search engines are getting really good at understanding not just the words, but the meaning behind them.
So the context.
Yeah, the context, like what is the user actually looking for? What are they trying to do?
Okay. So it's not just about matching keywords anymore.
Not really, no. It's about understanding the intent.
So if I search for best restaurants for a romantic dinner,
Okay.
Google wouldn't just look for pages with those exact words.
Right.
It would also consider things like the ambiance, the price range, maybe even like what kind of cuisine is considered romantic.
Exactly. It's about seeing the bigger picture, you know, connecting the dots between what someone searches for and what they actually want.
Wow. Okay, so semantic search is like Google becoming a mind reader.
Kinda, yeah. It's getting pretty good at it.
That's a little creepy, but also kind of cool.
I know, right? It's both.
Yeah.
But how do we keep up with that?
Right. Like, how do we optimize for something that can practically read minds?
Well, it starts with going beyond those basic keywords,
Okay.
thinking about those bigger topics, the themes, the
Yeah.
underlying questions your audience has.
So instead of just romantic dinner, we think about best date night ideas
Yeah.
or romantic restaurants with a view.
Exactly. You got to anticipate what people are really looking for.
I mean, it sounds like we almost have to become like psychologists to understand what people want.
A little bit, yeah. You gotta put yourself in their shoes.
I'm starting to see the light here.
Yeah.
But it's a lot to keep up with. And AI is getting so smart, it kind of makes you wonder, like,
Yeah.
is it even worth it? Can't AI just write all the content for us at this point?
You know, that's the million-dollar question these days, isn't it?
Right.
And I gotta be honest, AI content creation is getting pretty good. Like, there are tools out there that can generate some decent stuff.
I've seen some of it, and
Yeah.
it's sometimes it's impressive,
Yeah.
but a lot of times it's still kind of robotic. You know, it lacks that human touch.
That's true. It can be a little clunky. It's not perfect, but it can be a useful tool for certain
Like
things.
what kinds of things?
Well, it can help with generating ideas, you know, getting past writer's block.
Yeah.
It can help with creating those first drafts, maybe summarizing long articles, things like that.
So it's more like a writing assistant.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It's not going to replace human writers anytime soon. But it can help us work more efficiently.
Okay, so it's about using AI strategically, not letting it take over completely.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between human creativity and, you know, the power of AI.
With all this talk about AI and algorithms, though, it's easy to forget that SEO is still about, you know, humans connecting with other humans.
You're right, it is. At the end of the day, it's about people. And that brings us back to those two core principles: data-driven decisions and understanding user intent.
Okay, yes, those are so important. But can you remind me again why?
Sure. So data helps us understand what's actually working and
Yeah.
what's not.
Okay.
It tells us how people are finding us, what they're engaging with, what's making them bounce.
So data is like our feedback loop,
Yeah, exactly.
telling us what we need to adjust.
And user intent, it helps us make those adjustments in the right way. It's about understanding not just what people are searching for, but why. What are they hoping to find? What are their goals?
Okay, so data gives us the what. User intent gives us the why.
Exactly. And when you put those two together,
Yeah.
that's how you create an SEO strategy that really sings.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
So how do we actually do that? Like, give me some tangible strategies. Let's talk tactics.
All right, so let's start with content, right?
Okay.
High quality content is still essential,
Always.
but it needs to be laser focused on what your audience wants and why they want it.
So it's not just about writing about, I don't know, gardening.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the different types of gardeners. What are their specific needs? What are they looking for? So someone who wants to grow their own vegetables is going to have different needs than someone who like wants to create a beautiful flower garden.
You got it. It's about going deeper, understanding those nuances.
So where do we even begin with that? Like, how do we figure out what our audience wants?
Okay, well, first, look at your website analytics. What are the popular pages? What keywords are people using to find you?
So our website can tell us a lot if we know how to read it.
It can. And then there are other tools like keyword research tools, social listening tools. These can show you what people are searching for, talking about online.
Okay, so we're looking at our website data, doing keyword research. What else?
Don't forget about customer feedback. Talk to your customers, send out surveys, see what questions they're asking, what are they struggling with?
So go straight to the source.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, so we've got all this information now about what our audience wants. How do we use it to create better content, a better strategy overall?
It's a cycle, really. You know, you gather information, you create content based on that information, you track your results, and then you use those results to refine your strategy and create even better content. It's an ongoing process.
So we're always learning, always adapting.
Exactly. You got to be flexible, you got to be willing to experiment.
It's like a dance, this constant back and forth between us and our audience.
I love that analogy. It
Yeah.
really is. And that's what keeps SEO interesting, you know? It's always evolving.
Yeah, it's definitely not boring. I mean, it sounds like SEO is kind of like this living thing that's constantly changing and growing.
It is. And if you try to fight it, you're gonna lose.
So we need to embrace the change
Yeah.
and see it as an opportunity to evolve with it.
Exactly. And speaking of evolution, let's talk about technical SEO because that's always changing too.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about that earlier. But can we dive a little deeper? Like, what are the specific things we need to be paying attention to?
Sure. So we talked about crawlability, indexability, but we also need to think about site structure, page speed, all that good stuff.
All right, let's break those down. Starting with crawlability. What does that even mean? I feel like I'm still not totally clear on that.
Okay, so imagine Google as this little spider crawling around the web, following links, trying to understand what every website is about. Crawlability is how easily that spider can access your site and move around on it.
Okay.
If your site is well structured, all the links work properly, the spider can easily crawl through it, understand the content, and add it to its index.
But if our website is like a tangled mess with broken links, dead ends, all that stuff, that spider's gonna get lost.
Exactly. And if Google can't crawl your site, it can't index it, which means your pages won't show up in search results.
Okay, so crawlability is all about making our website easy for Google to understand.
Yeah, basically, make it spider friendly.
Got it. Now, what about indexability? How is that different?
So once that spider has crawled your site and figured out what it's all about, it needs to add those pages to its index, which is like Google's giant database of all the websites it knows about.
Okay, so crawlability is like inviting Google over for a visit. Indexability is making sure Google adds our site to its little black book.
I like that, yeah.
So, are there things that can prevent pages from being indexed?
Yeah, definitely. Duplicate content, thin content.
Okay.
Technical issues that block Google from accessing pages.
So we need to make sure our content is unique,
Yeah.
valuable, easy for Google to access.
Exactly. You got it.
Now, what about site structure? Where does that fit in?
Site structure is how your website is organized, how the pages are linked together. A good site structure makes it easy for both users and search engines to understand what your website is about.
So it's not just a random collection of pages. We need to think about how they all relate to each other,
Right.
create a logical flow.
Yeah, it's like creating a roadmap for your website,
Got it.
guiding visitors to the right place.
Makes sense. And speaking of getting to the right place, let's talk about page speed. I know that's a big one for both users and search engines.
It is. We talked about it earlier from the user experience side.
Right.
But page speed is a ranking factor too.
Really?
Google likes websites that load quickly.
Well, yeah, I'm much more likely to stick around if a page loads instantly.
Exactly. And if it takes forever, it can actually hurt your rankings. It's like showing up late for a job interview.
Oh no, that'll make a bad first impression.
Yep.
So, how do we make sure our website is loading as fast as possible?
There are a few things you can do. Image optimization, minifying code, caching.
Okay, some of that sounds a little technical for me.
It can be, but there are tools and resources out there to help. Or you can always talk to a developer.
Okay, good to know. Technical SEO can get pretty complex.
It can. It's like the foundation of your house. You know, you don't really think about it until there's a problem.
Right, but it's essential for everything to work properly.
Exactly. Now, we also need to think about what's happening outside of our website.
Okay.
And that's where off-page SEO comes in.
All right, so let's talk about that. What is off-page SEO?
Off-page SEO is all the stuff you do off your website to improve your rankings.
Okay.
It's about building your reputation, your authority.
So, like, our online street cred.
Exactly. And one of the most important parts of that is building backlinks.
Backlinks, right? We talked about those being like votes of confidence from other websites.
Yeah.
But how do we actually get them? Do we just like ask nicely?
You can try that, but it's
Yeah.
not always that easy. One of the best ways to get backlinks is to create high-quality content
Right.
that other people will naturally want to link to.
So if our content is really good, other websites will want to share it with their audience.
Exactly. You want to create content that's so good, people can't help but link to
Okay, I like that strategy.
it.
But sometimes even great content needs a little push, right?
You're right. You can also reach out to other websites, bloggers in your industry, and let them know about your content.
So it's like networking,
Yeah.
building relationships, but
Yeah.
promoting our content.
Exactly. You can also participate in online communities, forums, things like that. Share your expertise.
Okay, so we're being active, we're engaging, we're putting ourselves out there.
Yeah. And remember, quality over quantity. Always.
So a few good backlinks are worth more than a ton of bad ones.
Way more.
Okay, so we need to focus on getting backlinks from websites that are actually relevant and trustworthy.
Yeah, and that takes time. You know, it's an ongoing process.
So building backlinks isn't a one-time thing.
It's not. You got to keep at it. And it's not just about backlinks either. Off-page SEO also includes things like social media marketing, managing your online reputation,
Okay.
even getting involved in your local community.
So it's about building a strong presence
Yeah.
online across different platforms.
Exactly. It's about creating a cohesive brand experience.
Okay, so off-page SEO is about going beyond our website and building a reputation that Google will trust.
Yeah, you got it. And remember, all of this, it's all connected.
Yeah.
On-page SEO, technical SEO, off-page SEO, it all works together.
Like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, like a symphony.
Speaking of special things, the article mentioned local SEO. Is that something we should be thinking about, even if we don't have a physical store?
It's definitely important for businesses with physical locations, but online businesses can benefit too. It's about making sure you're visible to people who are searching for businesses in their area.
So even if we don't have a physical address, we can still optimize for local searches.
Absolutely. Like, let's say you're a freelance writer, you work from home, but you want to attract clients in a specific city.
Okay.
You can totally optimize for that.
So local SEO isn't just about location. It's about anyone who wants to reach customers in a specific geographic area.
Exactly. And there are a few key things you can do for local SEO. One is claiming and optimizing your Google My Business profile.
Okay, Google My Business. I've heard of it, but what exactly is it?
It's basically a free business listing on Google. It's like a mini website for your business.
Okay.
It helps you manage your online presence, show up in local search results, maps, even voice search.
So it's like our digital storefront,
Yeah,
even
exactly.
if we don't have a physical one.
And it's super important for local SEO because when people search for businesses near them, that's often one of the first things they see.
All right, I'm starting to see why that's important.
Yeah.
What else can we do for local SEO?
Another important thing is making sure you have consistent, accurate local citations across the web.
Local citations. What are those again?
It's any online mention of your business name, address, phone number
Okay.
on other websites, directories, social media.
So it's about making sure all that information is the same everywhere.
Exactly. And the more consistent it is, the more Google trusts you,
Okay.
which can boost your rankings.
So it's like having a chorus of voices all saying, yes, this business is legit and it's located here.
Yeah, exactly. And then you want to build relationships with other local businesses.
So networking, getting involved in the community.
Yeah. You know, cross-promote each other, partner up, maybe even get some local backlinks.
Oh, we're building a little network of businesses.
Yeah, all helping each other out.
I like that. Okay, so local SEO sounds like a pretty good strategy for anyone trying to reach those local customers. But let's bring it back to those two core principles we talked about earlier: data-driven decisions and understanding user intent. How do those apply to everything we've been talking about?
They're the foundation of any good SEO strategy, really.
Yeah.
Data tells us what's working. User intent helps us make the right decisions.
So we need to constantly analyze our data, use it to make informed decisions about our website, our content, our overall approach.
Exactly. You got to be willing to adapt, to change your strategy based on what the data is telling you.
And we always need to keep our audience in mind. What are their needs? What are they looking for?
Exactly. Put yourself in their shoes.
Okay, that's good advice. So we've covered a lot of ground here,
We have.
from the technical side of SEO to off-page optimization, local SEO. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But now I'm curious, like, what's next? What's the future of SEO?
Oh, that's a great question. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next part of our deep dive. We'll explore things like AI, voice search, visual search, all the stuff that's shaping the future of search.
Okay, I'm a little nervous, but also excited.
I know, me too. It's going to be a wild ride.
All right, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back to unravel the mysteries of the future of SEO.
All right, so we're back, ready to tackle the future of SEO. It feels like we've already talked about so much.
I know, right? But we've only just scratched the surface.
Okay, good. Because I have so many more questions, like, what's next for SEO? What trends and technologies should we be watching out for?
Well, AI is obviously a big one. It's only going to get more powerful, more sophisticated. We're going to see AI tools that can help us with everything.
Like what kinds of things?
Keyword research.
Yeah.
Content analysis. Maybe even content creation.
Okay, yeah. We were talking about those AI writing assistants earlier. They're only going to get better.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And the interesting thing is AI is going to help us understand user intent even better than we do now. Like, way better. Really.
It'll be able to analyze data, see patterns, and pick up on things that we as humans might miss completely.
Okay, that's kind of freaky. But also impressive. So what kind of insights are we talking about? Give me an example.
Okay, so imagine a world where Google knows not just what you're searching for, but also your past searches, your interests, your location, even your mood.
Wait, my mood? Like if I'm feeling stressed, Google's going to recommend yoga studios and meditation apps.
Exactly. It's about giving you truly personalized results that fit your needs, your preferences.
Okay, that's both amazing and a little bit creepy. But I see where you're going with this. So how do we optimize for that? How do we do SEO in a world of hyper-personalized search?
Well, we have to focus even more on creating content that resonates with specific groups of people. And we have to deliver it in a way that's relevant to their individual needs.
So instead of trying to be everything to everyone,
right,
we need to get more specific, more niche.
Exactly. And this ties into another big trend, zero-click searches.
Zero-click searches. Okay, remind me what those are again.
You know those featured snippets at the top of Google search results? Those boxes that give you the answer right away so you don't have to click through to a website?
Oh, right. Yeah, those are super helpful, especially when I just need a quick answer. But aren't those, like, bad for websites?
Yeah.
If people aren't clicking through, how do we get traffic?
That's a good question, and it's something SEOs are going to have to figure out. But instead of trying to fight it, we need to learn how to optimize for it.
So it's not just about ranking number one anymore. It's about making sure our content is the best, most concise answer. So we get featured in those zero-click results.
Exactly. You want to be the ultimate source of information.
I mean, it's still good for brand awareness, right?
Yeah.
Even if people aren't clicking through to our website.
Oh, yeah. You're still building authority, establishing yourself as the expert.
Okay, so content is still king. Even in this world of zero-click searches and AI.
Absolutely. Content is always king. But we have to make sure it's high quality, optimized, engaging.
And I'm also thinking about, you know, mobile friendliness, page speed. Those are even more important now, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If your site is slow or it doesn't work well on mobile, people are going to bounce.
Right. They're not going to stick around. Okay. And then there's voice search. How is that going to change things?
Well, voice search is only going to get bigger as more people use smart speakers, voice assistants, and that means we need to optimize for how people actually talk.
Right. We don't talk the same way we type. Like, I'm way more likely to ask Siri, what's the weather today?
Yeah.
Than to type that into Google.
Exactly. So we need to use those longer, more conversational keywords.
Oh, instead of targeting best coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
We might target something like, hey, Siri, find me the best coffee shop near me.
Exactly. You got to think about those natural language phrases.
And what about visual search?
Oh, yeah. Visual search is huge, too. Think about Pinterest, Google Lens, Amazon. People are using images to find information.
So instead of typing in a search, I could just take a picture of a product I like and find similar products online.
Exactly. So images are becoming just as important as text when it comes to SEO.
Okay, so how do we optimize for visual search? What do we need to do?
Make sure your images are high quality, properly tagged with keywords, and think about how you can use images to tell stories, engage your audience, make your content more shareable.
So it's not just about text anymore. It's about images, it's about voice, it's about creating a more holistic online experience.
It is, and it's all about adapting to how people are using technology.
I feel like we're only at the beginning of all this. Like, who knows what the future holds?
I know, right? It's exciting and maybe a little bit scary.
So what are the key takeaways here? What do we need to remember as we move forward into this, like, brave new world of SEO?
Focus on providing value, creating a great user experience, and always, always be learning.
Okay. Be adaptable. Be curious.
Exactly. SEO is a journey, not a destination.
All right. That's a great way to put it. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Deep Dive today. It's been a fascinating conversation.
It really has. And thanks to everyone listening.
And remember, no matter what the future holds for SEO, the most important thing is to stay focused on your audience, their needs, and how you can provide them with the best possible experience. We'll see you next time on the Deep Dive.